Okay. Come in. Okay, well, thank you all for coming. It's a pleasure to share with you today. I don't think I realized how intense this topic is, but we'll just plow in. When Rose and I were trying to decide what to talk about, I just couldn't really make up my mind what I wanted to talk about. And they kind of gave us the option, didn't they, Rose? Sort of. Anyway.
Well, we had a list of suggestions and surveys.
Yeah, some suggestions, but we didn't quite know where to head in. And when Sheridan actually gave me this idea, Sheridan Martin, and she said, Laura, you need to talk about pain. And I was like, okay, yeah, I do have a heart for that. And so that's how this subject came to be. Thank you, Ellen, for the cute little tissues. I don't expect you to, you don't have to use them, but I thought it was sweet. There's little messages, and you can each have one if you would like. You don't have to use them in the class, but I thought it was sweet. Thank you, Ellen. Okay, so I've never actually done a workshop before. I've done many talks, but workshops is a little different. My husband thought I had miles of notes, so I guess we'll see how it goes. I actually had asked some of my friends to give me some what they would see as purposes in pain, and I just kind of wrote down some of the ones that they shared that kind of stood out to me. Pain can bring me into God's presence like nothing else can. Pain is growth. Pain can give me compassion instead of condemnation for another person. Anyway, we might look at some of those a little bit later, but I guess I feel like as I was studying this, I realized that I really am kind of hesitant to hand out answers about pain because it's such a personal thing, and pain is so ongoing, and there's lots of concepts, there's lots of ideas, there's lots of books you can read, but often those tidy answers aren't really what we need, and they don't really help us in our difficulty so many times. And I also wanted to say at the beginning that I haven't experienced, you know, every kind of pain there is, and I feel very unqualified to speak about pain in some areas, but I have healed from pain, and I can only speak from that. And so that's what I'm going to speak from. And I also don't want to glorify anything of my own experiences, but I also realize some of you don't know me, and so I have to give a little background so you can understand a little bit where I'm coming from. And thank you for being here and for praying for me. So when I was thinking about pain, I was trying to find a example in the Bible that of a person in pain, and I read some about this subject, and the person that I just kept thinking about was Hagar, and I think I wrote that on the handout there, and I don't think I'm going to take the time to read the story today, but you all know Sarah wanted her to be her to have a son for her, and Abraham took that advice and took her, and Hagar was forced into something that she didn't necessarily, this was not really her dream for her life, probably. But I was just thinking about the pain that she possibly was facing. She was mistreated by Sarah. She ended up being despised by Sarah. So she was despised and shamed by those around her. She was discouraged and wanted to die. And then later on in the chapter, it talks about how God met her pain. An angel came, and a promise was given. She was acknowledged by a God who sees, and she was promised that her son would become a nation. No, sorry, those are all in the handout. That was probably way too fast, but so God met her in her pain, and I think that's so much how I feel about pain today, is that God is there. And I think so many times because of being Christians and our experiences and things, we actually have more tools to deal with pain than what non-Christians do. Hebrews 12:11, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Isn't it easier to look back on our past and see how God worked instead of our present situation? So much easier to see what God did in the past than to look right now and be able to see God's hand at work. I just found it really interesting. I was reading Hebrews 12, and the next verses are so interesting because to me it kind of gives a solution for the chastening that God brings. It says, lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. Make straight paths. Follow peace and holiness and keep bitterness from your heart. Just beautiful. But you can read those on your own. That's all in Hebrews 12 if you would like. So maybe we could start out by just talking about what kinds of pain we experience in life. There's so many different kinds. Does anybody want to share? What are some of the pains that we experience?
Rejection.
Disappointments.
Misunderstandings or conflicts.
Loneliness.
I thought about loss of relationship can be a pain. Sickness and death, lots of pain involved there. Abuse or sins committed against us can also bring much pain. Anything else to think about? So much of pain, of course we have physical pain. There's physical pain that we deal with. There's emotional pain. You know, there's even spiritual pain that we deal with. And some of those we can bring on ourselves. For example, a smoker can expect, you know, to have bad health, pain, whatever. But so much of pain is often brought on by situations that are out of our control. And I think that's what I want to talk about today. So maybe I'll just start with just a few painful experiences that I have had, and maybe longer ago experiences and maybe more recent experiences, and then you kind of can know what I'm talking from. If I can do this. I want to thank my sister Esther for being here too. She's been through a lot of this with us here together. So my mother died when I was 13. Esther was 11? 10. Our father remarried and we had a stepmother and step-sibling came into our home. Very, very painful experience as a child. Our grandparents were killed in an accident. Not sure how many years it would have been after that, but few years. Do you know Esther?
about, this spring was 20 years.
It's 20 years, and mom's been gone 30, right? So maybe 10 years later?
13.
Yeah.
12.
And then when we lived in Poland for 10 years, and during that time, my brother's five children were killed in an accident. That's been 13 years ago, maybe?
12.
11.
12.
And then more recently, our stepmother passed away from cancer as well. Our first mother also died of cancer. Our stepmother passed away. Another pain, and it seems like often when you have pain, when there's other painful experiences that come, it can remind you of other pain. And so much what I experienced personally. And then shortly after that, Esther found out she had cancer. Very devastating for all of us. I praise God that she's doing really well at this point, but still very painful. And then just more recently, we were asked to move on an outreach, and I don't know that I would, I mean, maybe I wouldn't say it's pain, but it's change, and with change brings separation, and of course pain. So those are some of the big things that I have dealt with as on a personal level. My husband has taught school off and on in our marriage, and I just was thinking, as because this is a teacher's meeting and there's many teachers' wives here, I was just thinking that many times we as women experience a lot of pain when our husband is teaching. And just one example, there was a young man who John taught, we taught in Virginia for 5 years. He was a very, very dynamic boy, very influential in the school. And I don't think John ever had a student like that before or after that defied authority like he did. Totally defied authority. And John is a very black and white person, and he just did everything that he wasn't supposed to do. And he really nearly ruined our teaching, basically, because he pretty much got the whole school against us. Not everyone, but it seemed like it. And he left then before John agreed to teach another year. I told John that year, I said, I don't think this year is the year to quit teaching. He wanted to just fold it all up, and he's done. But he said, I think we need to go on, and I said, I agree. So he agreed to teach another year, and John actually taught there, I believe it was 3 more years. And this man today is in prison, and he's separated from his wife, and just brings me a lot of sadness because he had so much potential. And it's very painful for us. I don't know if, yeah, I hadn't thought about him in years, but when I was preparing this, I thought that was really a painful experience in our teaching. And then we lived in Poland for 10 years, and we were called there as a family to serve the mission field, and John taught English there. It was a little bit of a different teaching than Christian day school, but we threw our lives into the work there and loved it, and pretty much figured we would die in Poland. We loved it. We wanted to stay. But after 10 years, God said, you know, I want you to lay down this ministry. I want you to go back to the States. And we didn't understand. Our children didn't understand. And again, it was very painful to leave that ministry. But as Christians, we have a hope. We have hope that non-Christians have. And when we go through hard things, there's a difference how we relate to pain. And I want you to get this. I think this is on your handout somewhere. Sorry, I'm not very good at following handouts. You just have to. This, at the bottom of page one. Our life values, meaning, and hope act as a catalyst or promoter for mobilizing energy and finding satisfaction. Without them, life would be futile. So we live out of our life values. And again, hope is just, it's what keeps us going. It's what keeps giving us energy. When those in pain lose hope, many times those in pain lose hope and life spirals out of control. Shipwreck victims may die after a few days, even though they could have actually survived in reality longer. Why? Because they lose hope. And as a Christian, we do. We have hope. So just a few things I was thinking about. How can I keep hope alive in my heart? Number one, adjust your expectations. Adjust your expectations. How many of us have expectations that cannot be met or never will be met? Not every team wins the Super Bowl. Not every marriage soars. Illness and death, bad things just happen. And because we live in a broken world, so adjust your expectations. Number two, learn from your defeats. Disappointments and failures build character and patience when allowed to do so. I was reading about a surfer. She was 13 years old. Her name was Bethany Hamilton, and she was surfing at 13, and a shark bit her arm off. Maybe you've heard of her. Bit her arm off, and she was taken to the hospital and surgery, emergency surgery. But a month later, she was surfing again. A month later, she overcame this horrible, life-changing situation, and she actually went on to be a professional surfer. And she's a real inspiration to a lot of people. There's quite a bit online about her if you want to read about her. I think there's even a film about her. Number three, build friendships. It's easier to face pain when you have someone to share it with. And as women, I think that's especially so. We really, sometimes we need empathy and sympathy and whatever else. Number four, go deeper with God. The Bible promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Give your fears and worries to God. Not even death can keep God's love away, it says in Romans 8. And number five, focus on our ultimate hope. Sometimes we just get stuck focusing on our situation. We muddle around. We forget to see the big picture. But we just need to keep in mind that God's plans are bigger than we are. And He has a plan for our lives. Okay. So, Hosea 6:1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. You can experience a fresh downpour of God's grace and mercy upon your life as you return to him. So why do we return to the Lord? I think we return to him because he's the one that permitted the pain. God gave us the pain. Sometimes we don't like to think that God brings those things into our lives, but he does permit it. I think he can give Satan permission for some of that stuff, but he still has to permit the pain that we face. He has not abandoned you. And number three, he's not callous, but he's moving toward you with compassion. So that verse says, he hath torn us, but then it goes on to say, why? Why has he torn us? He has torn us so He can heal us. So many times feel like we want the healing without the tearing. If that were possible, I think God would want it too, but we would much prefer to see the end result than to go through anything. But I thought about surgeons. Do they lament the pain of the procedure? They set bones, they cut skin, they remove tumors, and they realize that that is the only way to healing. And I think God, if we can realize that in our pain, God tears us so he can heal us. Kind of a hard thing to say, but maybe you're right now, you're in the middle of a trial that God has orchestrated to draw you to himself. The pain will not go away until the reason for its arrival has been completed. God's love isn't a pampering love, but a perfecting love. He's totally committed to you as he accomplishes the purpose for the pain he has allowed. Sometimes the path to personal revival is through pain. Now the next section is, I just kind of wanted you to think about these things, and I put some verses down. I don't think we're going to go over them together because we're going to run out of time. But just some of the things that we tend to say to God, and I got most of these from the book, Help Me Trust You, God, by Emily Barnes. It's not an extremely hard book to read, but I've really enjoyed this little book. Help Me Trust You, Lord. I suggest you read it. These are just some of her things that she said to God, and then some references, what God can say back to us, and you may all do those on your own. I think I'll just put them there for you to think about. Give yourself to the pursuit of God. I think that's a key. Your doubts can become faith. Your discouragement can become joy. Your despair can be purpose, can become purpose and fulfillment, and a revival of your heart beyond anything you can imagine. What has a hold on your heart that keeps you from fully returning to God? That's a question to ask yourself. Is there anything that shouldn't push you towards God? And I think so many times in pain, we push God away, and we become bitter, we become hard, we become calloused, and so many times it becomes very hard. One book that I hadn't read this, well, maybe I should back up. Grief as a child is different than grief as an adult, and I have found myself over and over as an adult grieving my grief as a child. And, you know, as a 13-year-old girl, you're not going to read a book about grief. But the one book that was recommended to me, I think it maybe was over the time that my nieces and nephews were killed, and I think I have it at the bottom of this sheet, A Grace Disguised. That is an excellent book if you like a little bit of deep reading. But he's very, very, he lost his wife and daughter and mother-in-law, I believe it was, in a drunk driving accident. And he talks about how we, people tell us to get over our grief. You'll get over it. And he says, we never will get over it. We live in it. We find joy in it. And it really was helpful for me. So just a little side note there. I recommend that book if you like to read. So when I was preparing this topic, I told my sister-in-law, Carolyn, she's the one that lost the 5 children, I said, maybe you should just come teach this. I said, you would know much more than I would. But she gave me a book that I read, and how many of you have read it? Forgiven by Terry Roberts. Yes, okay, a few of you. She was the mother of the Amish killer at Nickel Mines, and the tremendous pain that she experienced because of what her son had done. And it was nothing that she had done herself. This was her son, who she thought was a wonderful man, and he was. And another book to put on your reading list. She says this, our darkest places are real. You can never sweep it under the rug, but none of us has to live in darkness. And in her book, she offers these 8 steps to moving on in spite of pain. And that is what I want to emphasize today is that we begin to live again. We need to learn to live in pain. We have to go on. We have to find healing. And I haven't done it perfectly, but let's just look at these eight things. You can jot them down. I think they're out there on your workshop. Number one, she says, move forward. Just move forward. Take one step. Try to live again. Start reaching to God. Just move ahead. That's all you have to do, one little step. And that is what you do not feel like doing when you are in the midst of pain. Reach towards God. Number two, think on these things. Think about the things that have brought the pain into your life. For her, it was a lot of forgiving. She would never forget what her son did and the havoc he made, the way the national, everything was against him. And but she's thought about these things. She wanted to learn from this. She says to let go of bitterness, anger, hurt for what God has asked you to face. And here again, this was something that, like I said in the beginning, it was a situation that was totally out of her control. So many of our life situations are like that. So think on these things. You can think about it, but just don't stay there. Practice forgiveness is number three. Forgive God for what he brought into your life. Forgive him. I had a lot of anger for many of those things that God brought to my life. Forgive those who hurt us. Forgive those that don't understand. And so many times people mean well. When you are in pain, sometimes you don't really know how to talk about it. And there's some pains that are harder for people to understand than others. But just forgive them. Forgive yourself. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Forgive yourself for anything that you have done to cause pain. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself for being angry. Forgive yourself for how you felt about God. There's just a lot of forgiveness you need to continue doing. Just practice that every day. Make right choices, number four. Terry Roberts, she chose to go and help Rosanna, the invalid that was, I think she was 14 years old. She was the victim that was then she's still in a wheelchair as far as I know. She chose to go to her regularly and help with her. And there again, that was a choice that she made. She did not have to do that. She chose to reach out and help. And this was her son that caused this. This wasn't her, but she chose to help. And I think in making that choice, she started to be healed. And she experienced healing. And I think if I remember right, she said that how much healing she received from the families. Through helping Rosanna. Just a beautiful, beautiful illustration. Number five, share your story with others. This is a very touchy one. There are ways to share your story. I think sharing your story to encourage and help others in their journey is an excellent way to share your story. Not in a proud way. And even just thinking about today, I didn't know how much to share. I didn't want to glorify myself, and yet people have to know what you're talking about. So share your story. Sharing brings healing, and often as women, when we share together, we just have to talk about it. And then we feel better. It does. Sharing brings healing. Number six, communicate with those around you. It's so easy when you are in deep pain to just retreat into a shell, and that varies from person to person, but we so often just retreat into a shell. Find someone who will communicate with us and share our pain and help us to find light. I think it's easy sometimes to go to people who can commiserate with you and you can muddle around in your pain together, but find someone that can really help you find light and pray with you and lead you towards God. It's just so important. And I think communicating brings healing. But maybe not to everyone, but it does to me. And then, number 7, this one's is hard to do. Pray with thanksgiving. Roberts thanked God for the forgiveness that the Amish extended to her. Now, what an example. Like, what a thing to thank God for. I remember talking to my grandma about praying. And she said that she didn't, well, this was about my mom's death. She lost her daughter at, she was 39 years old. And she told me, she said she didn't start experiencing healing until she was able to thank God for something about her death. So that was so precious. And she was such a thankful woman, and Esther can testify. She was always a burst of light in our lives. And when she passed away now, was it 2 years ago? I really felt another connection. That was another grief for me. The connection with my mom was gone. We shared together a lot about mom. So pray with thanksgiving. Find ways to pray with thankfulness. Pain brings blessings, and that's such a contradiction. But pain does bring blessings, and if you allow it, I believe. It is. It's a contradiction. And there again, to live with joy and pain, it feels like such a contradiction, but I've seriously experienced that. And maybe we can't understand that unless we've gone through it, but I can't explain it, but it's true. Pain brings blessings. Focus on eternity. No pain is worth keeping us from the pleasures of heaven. And I just thought, I mean, her 8 ways were so practical, and they weren't hard to understand, and I just really liked her 8 ways, and I can't imagine the pain that she must have gone through with her husband, or her sons choosing to kill all those children, but hope you can take those and learn from them. And I know in this room I'm sure there's pain, and it can be very hard to talk about. But I just encourage you to make a tiny step. Share something with someone. And there's always somebody that has, that you can reach out to. And I believe even students that you have in your classrooms who come from painful situations or whatever, it can just be day by day pain, but there's so many ways you can minister to them, reach out to them, and show them how to walk through pain. So now I want to hear from you. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Maybe a painful experience, how you dealt with it, maybe some tips. I felt like I did all the talking, but now I have it off my heart, so. I probably should have picked on some people before. And
well, I don't have it in my mind right now, but I had read that there are somewhat 5 categories of grieving, and anger is one of them at the top, I know. And I think that's where somebody's not acting very nice during a painful experience. We need to show a lot of compassion. And for ourselves, when we're angry about what happened or our life circumstances or something, and like you say, it sounded strange, and I really felt weird doing it, but saying that I forgive you, God, for what happened. I mean, if we really trust God, we shouldn't. God is so great. Why should we mortals forgive him for anything he does? And yet, that did bring some relief.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can recognize, help somebody understand that, there are stages of, you won't always stay at this stage. You'll gradually.
And, sometimes I think as Christians, we think that we are sinning when we go through those stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
We think that we feel guilty for being angry. We feel guilty about asking why. Because God is good. I remember so clearly when we came back from Poland for... Do you remember I told you this? When we came back from Poland for my niece's and nephew's funeral, we had a long ways to come. We had some things we had to tie up before we could get there. So we got there several days later. And those that had been there were processing their grief much faster than we were able to because we weren't there. And I remember somebody saying, God is so good. And I was like, yeah, right. I wasn't there.
Can't see it.
I wasn't there at all. And I was really angry. And I just think if we can remember that those stages, if we can use them to bring us closer to God. And I mean, there are times we question God. But it doesn't mean we are living in sin.
And I think you touched on this a bit, how in quiz we can have sort of flashbacks. Some things will bother us really much, a painful experience, you know. We might think we have, you know, accepted it, we moved on, and then something later can just trigger it. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know,
go through it all.
Feel like we're almost back there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really keep close to the word.
Right.
I think every woman should have a Bible that she feels free to write notes in.
Mm-hmm.
Underline verses.
Well, that's why
that is really
it is. And I just think that forgiveness, it's going to take more than one time.
Yeah.
It's just an ongoing thing. And if we can realize that just because we need to ask forgiveness again of whatever doesn't mean that we're not going on. Thank you. Anybody else?
I can relate with your step on Thanksgiving. In a situation we were dealing with, I felt like every morning God just asked me to say thank you. And I did it with gritting teeth sometimes. It was just, you know, every morning just thank you again.
Does. Sometimes there's nothing to be thankful for, except just God, maybe, or just thankful I got out of bed, or, yeah, it's true.
This might sound a little odd, but one thing I found in this grief is that the grieving person is not always a very lovable person. And I remember thinking that when two of my friends were going through grief, why can't they just, you know, get over it? Is that all they can talk about? But then I was in that stage, and I was that way. And I was so thankful for my friends that stuck by me through that time because I know I was not vulnerable. And that just meant I felt like I could feel Jesus through them, comforting me.
Thank you. And it's such a painful time for the ones grieving, and it's a painful time for friends who don't know how to get in there and really help. Sometimes you don't know how. And I know I was telling somebody before my talk, I said that at funerals anymore, I just say, I don't have anything to say. And every time I have left, like, after a while, it is just painful. Pain is just hard. But I do think that we don't have to go through it alone. We have God, we have friends, and like I said, find friends that will walk with you and not just commiserate. Do you walk with me, Jewel? Anything else?
I really like the point on expectations you had there, adjust your expectations, because me personally, I haven't had great doses of pain, but often it's my expectations that create my pain, and learning to be just a little bit more flexible. Mm-hmm. And not expecting so much out of life. Mm-hmm. I think in childhood, I think life will give us pretty much everything we want, and as we go along, just right and left, it lets us down. And so just removing or lowering our expectations can help with the everyday pain of just life being rotten.
And I think sometimes we have to lower our expectations of ourselves and just allow ourselves some grace. not just those around us, but I don't know if you were talking about personally or around us. I mean, both ways.
I was just thinking my expectations of what life should give
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, one of the most painful things as a child was just people thinking that I was over my pain. Did you experience that? No, maybe we were just at a different age. But I remember somebody told me one time, I think it was right, I don't remember much what people said around the funeral time of my first mom's death, but one minister of a neighboring church said, just never be ashamed to cry. No matter where you are, don't be ashamed. And I thought of that so many times when I was in public and I just wanted to weep. You know, and as a teenager, you're not really into weeping. Not with your friends right there beside you, like, what's wrong with you? But I remembered that a lot, and that really helped me as a child. That was as a child, but that was a good piece of advice. Very simple. What else? I don't even know what time it is. It is 3:00, so if any of you need to go to the next class, feel free, but I'm here. I'm going to turn off my thing.